Welcome to the Grace-Based Family Podcast.
We're your hosts,
Karis Murray
and Michelle Brook. This is a podcast where we look at the power of grace in the everyday lives of families.
We're excited for you to listen in on the conversation.
Hey, Karis.
Hi, Michelle.
Today, we're going to talk about how to raise hard workers, which I love.
Yes, me too. Nothing drives me more crazy than laziness.
Yes. Like,
it just sends me through the roof.
Oh, so, me too. And we all have kids at home that struggle with that.
Yeah.
And we all can at times.
Yeah.
But today we're going to talk about some great ways to build a strong work ethic in your kids. And I think a lot of that starts with building a good, strong self-efficacy. And I know that's a big word.
Okay.
But so let's unpack that. Self-efficacy means having belief in your abilities to complete a task or reach a goal or manage a situation. So
yeah,
I think a lot of what we're going to talk about today is making sure our kids have this self-efficacy that they know I can do this, I can work hard, and I can do awesome at this task.
Yeah, building that confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, so that they know that they have the abilities and they just kind of have to tap into those. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
And people with a strong sense of self-efficacy, really, they develop deeper interests in activities which they participate in. They have a strong sense of commitment. They recover quickly from setbacks and disappointments, and they view problems as not some overwhelming thing, but as like something to be mastered.
Yeah.
Right. And I always think, I know you're more careless of the creative. I'm more of the dumb jock athlete. And so I will probably speak in terms of sports with a lot of this.
Right.
But I just remember, especially my dad always instilling, like, you just never, 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 never give up.
Right.
Like channeling, who is that? Winston Churchill.
Winston Churchill. Yeah. Yes.
Uh-huh. It was like, I knew I could complete a task. I could reach a goal. I might not be the best at it, but I knew I could finish strong, and it was a challenge to me.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that parents can really help instill in their kids.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting. Hard work can look different on different people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, a creative kid.
Yeah.
Is going to work differently.
Totally.
And hard work for them may look different. Also, there's different kinds of work. There's physical, hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's sort of mental and emotional hard work.
Yeah.
And that sometimes is invisible. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we have to teach our kids how to manage all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So we have some tips here that we've thought through. Obviously, this is not an exhaustive list, but just some ways that you can kind of raise that sense of confidence in your kids, in their abilities as they're growing up, regardless of what their age is. But the earlier we start, the better. So the first tip is to value free play or unstructured play. Man, it's hard to do this in our world now because we're told, from every angle, you got to have your kids in activities and you need to have them be busy all the time. And they sometimes have so much homework, and then there's stuff on the computer that they want to do, or mm-hmm. video games, or their screens, and just sort of setting them free.
Yeah.
And it also involves usually letting them get a little bored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which it's everybody good. Seems terrified of. So you call, this kind of specific kind of unstructured play, you call it strewing?
Yes. Well,
explain
for younger
that
kids.
To me.
Yes.
Okay.
So elementary age, preschool age, I would say up until, third, fourth grade. I read this on a blog. I did not come up with this, but this gal called it the art of strewing, where you would set up, it's kind of like a Montessori type idea, where you would set up little areas. Now, again, it's not super structured, but I would set out like paints and wood chips and or whatever. What are those things called? Tongue depressors or?
Oh, definitely not called wood chips, but
popsicle sticks.
There you go.
You'd set out like some popsicle sticks and glue in one area. In another area, maybe like pom-pom, those little pom-poms mm-hmm. from the dollar store, and a muffin tin and some measuring cups. So you just kind of set out stuff for people to free play and strew around
yeah.
and use their creativity. And I mean, the hard thing for me is it can be messy. So I don't put out like, here's a slime center. Like, I'm not that crazy.
Yes.
But some, you know, glue sticks and some, you know, color, cut up some different colors of construction paper. No glitter.
Glitter is Satan's pixie dust.
We're not. It's like banned at our house.
Yeah. We don't let
we don't allow glitter. It.
And then, you know, throw away all your permanent markers so that those don't accidentally make it into any of this play.
But again, it's just encouraging this open-ended play that allows kids to tap into their imagination. And when they're bored enough, they will figure out how to use whatever you've set out for them. And it doesn't have to be a million things. It could just be one little thing on the table. And then when they're, I'm so bored, and they're milling around, they're like, what's this? This is cool. Clay? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I would dig a hole in the backyard, fill it with water, strip them down to their undies, and be like,
we're playing.
Go nuts. Go nuts. The only rule is you have to allow me to spray you off with a hose before you come inside. Yeah. And then I'll give you a nice warm bath.
Right.
And hours. Yeah. They would play for hours.
Like clay in the mud.
Yeah, exactly. They just would turn into these little Sasquatches outside walking around.
That's so funny.
So, yeah. And kind of the strewing thing, it reminds me a little bit of like centers in kindergarten, you know, where it's like each table sort of has something on it and they're not exactly telling the kids what they're supposed to do with it.
Right. It's not parent directed. It's kid directed. So they feel like, okay, I can figure out what to do with this. I have enough self-confidence that I don't need mom to handhold me through how to. Yeah.
Have you seen that documentary about the playgrounds in like Norway or something?
Oh, no, but I think you told
me.
Where
like they call them like kid islands or whatever, and they have maybe one or two adult supervisors to make sure that nobody dies. But they have like saws and hammers and nails and wood. And
amazing.
Like ropes that they, you know, swing from tree. I mean, it's they just like let these kids loose, and it looks like a junkyard. And it's
Google
this
that.
Whole movement of like allowing kids to free play, and parents are not allowed, so that they don't get like involved with it. And so I know that's pretty radical.
That is extreme.
It doesn't have to be that extreme.
But again, it's just allowing your kids to have that autonomy, even from a young age, teaching them like, okay, you can figure this out. You can be inspired on your own. Again, kind of ties into the self-efficacy. And another tip for raising kids that have that self-confidence is, and this is a lot of work for parents, but teaching life skills, right? Because I think a lot of kids, which this will play into what we're going to talk about with hard work, have this learned helplessness, right? Where the other day I said, okay, son, can you empty the dishwasher? Oh, no, I asked him to do the dishes. He's like, oh, I don't know how. And I was just like, okay, you're almost 10. Like, are you kidding me? It's not that hard. So an idea, a tool for that is just kind of a strategy to prevent learned helplessness. And number one, it's first, I'll do it for you, right? So just watch me. Watch me wash the dishes. Watch my technique. Then I'll do it alongside you. I'll do it with you. Third, I'm going to watch you do it. Probably could trick the heck out of you. And then fourth, you can do it independently and don't need me. But we can't expect our kids just to know how, like, I watched him the first time, and he was like putting the cutting board under the water, like directly under the sink, which was creating like a funnel ramp of water that was going all over the counter. I'm like, what are you doing? Think through that. And he's like, well, I didn't know. I'm like, you probably didn't. Like, you need to keep the thing lower.
I feel like sometimes that's a strategy with kids, though. They're like, I can't do it.
I'm so helpless. I don't know how to do toast. I'm like, well, let me show you. And then I'll watch you, and then you have no excuse.
It reminds me of like the before part of like an infomercial where it's like they can't do the simplest things.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, they burn the house down with a toaster or something, and it's like, you know, here's the product that's going to fix that for you. So sometimes I feel like that's a strategy where kids just pretend to be so helpless so that then maybe we won't ask them to do it again.
Right.
But we got to push through that with them, because they need to learn these skills. They're someday, you know, they're going to be out on their own. Yeah. And we, you know, we don't want to raise giant children. We want to raise adults.
Right. And along with that, we're not just talking about completing tasks. I think a lot of this is teaching kids to speak up for themselves. They have to know how to initiate conversation, respond to conversation, advocate for themselves. And I saw a glimpse of this a couple weeks ago. My husband found this like buffalo nickel or something. I mean, we're not like coin collectors, but we found this. He had this buffalo nickel, and he told our son Hunter, who was seven, six or seven at the time. He said, okay, here's the Buffalo nickel. It's probably worth around $30. I'm going to teach you the art of negotiation. We're going to practice this at home.
Okay.
You, when you go in, you're doing the talking, and whatever money you get for this coin, you get.
Oh, like in a coin shop? Like,
yes, they're going to the coin shop down the road. So they practiced, and he's like, okay, you need to ask for what you want, and, you know, you never give out the first amount. You know, let them give you the first offer. Okay, so they practice and went over and over. He's like, what if he says this? What if he says this? And he's like, just go in and say, this is a Buffalo nickel. How much will you give me for it? You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, it was cute. And so they went and they did this whole exercise. And I guess the guy offered him, he wanted $30 or something. I can't remember. And the guy was like, well, I'll give you $25. And he was like, okay. And then... the guy went in the back, and I guess the manager had heard all this.
Oh.
And the manager said, give him the full 30. Like, because he did it all on his own. So the guy came back and he said, you know, I was going to give you 25, but because you, you know, advocated and told me what you want, and this was, you know, really, I'm really brave of you, I'll give you the full $30. And he was thrilled.
Aww.
So anyway, just finding those little times where you can prep kids. This is how you speak for yourself. This is how you negotiate something.
Yeah.
This is how you talk to your counselor, go to your teacher or a small group leader or friend and work through things.
Well, simple things like having them order for themselves at a restaurant.
Absolutely.
You know, look the server in the eye. Ask them, you know, tell them what you'd like. And or go up to the counter at the fast food restaurant and order your milkshake or your ice cream or whatever.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, that was always terrifying for my kids. I don't know why it was so scary, but especially my older daughter was always like so nervous to order at a restaurant. I'm like, honey, the server, like, they want to serve you. This is their job. You know,
they
want to hear. They don't think it's weird that you're sitting in a restaurant ordering food.
Yeah.
Like, this is normal for them. But it's just these little hangups sometimes that our kids have to get over. Yeah. And they're important life skills that are going to help them as they move into the world. And every time they do something like that, even little things, it builds that confidence, that sense of self-efficacy that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. So I thought this was interesting. I saw that there was a study done by the Bentley University, which I don't know exactly where that is. Have you ever heard? But they did a study on workforce preparedness, right?
Okay.
So colleges, they included responses from corporate recruiters, higher education leaders, as well as students. And they found that 74% believed millennials lacked the work ethic of older generations. And they said they're not showing up with the kind of stick-to-itiveness and pigeon mindset of their predecessors.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not to bag on millennials, because we're kind of on that weird,
I mean, millennials
generation.
Are the parents now, so
exactly.
That's a little scary if that's
it
true.
Is scary, right? So you think
now,
okay,
we're raising the next generation,
right?
Yeah,
so
a
if
lot
they're
of us are.
If 74% of those folks that are raising kids now are lacking that work ethic, how much fewer, like, you know, how poorly are we going to pass that on? And so it's just kind of eye-opening. And one thing, my husband has to interview salespeople a lot, and he can manage a sales team, and he goes through a lot of people, and it's, and he says, I don't care if you have sales experience, I can teach you sales, I can teach you skills, but I can't teach you effort.
Right
you're responsible for your effort. And he's always blown away how people, not just millennials, a lot of people will come in and they're just like, well, it's not working. And he's just like, well, you're not putting any effort in.
Yeah.
I can't force you. Like, you can come and punch a clock, but you need to put the effort forth. And so that's what we're talking about with the hard work. It might look different with some people or different jobs, but we're talking about that effort.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, perceptions of what hard work looks like in other people, that may be part of this kind of Bentley University study, is that the perception of millennials is that they don't work hard.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, their work looks different. I think technology is a big part of this, because now we can accomplish so much more in less time utilizing technology and kind of make it look easy, right? With a lot of things. So I think as we raise our kids, which is Gen Z, and, you know, whatever this next generation is going to end up being called, because we're out of letters. So I'm not really sure what we're going to do now. But we really need to start early giving them things that are responsibilities that they can accomplish, you know, mm-hmm. age appropriate. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to, you know, put things out in front of them that are too hard and then discourage them. But we, you know, I really think the role of chores is important because mm-hmm. from a very early age, there are little things that kids can do around the house or in the yard or yeah. ways they can help neighbors or grandparents that help to build this sense of self-efficacy mm-hmm. and work ethic. So how do you guys handle chores at your house?
It's not consistent,
yeah.
unfortunately. I'll get like a new idea and do a chore mm-hmm. chart, stickers, and the yeah. whole nine, and then that fizzles out. Then we had a whiteboard, and my kid said I was too cheap because I was only giving them like 5 cents for the baseboards and like yeah. 2 cents for emptying the dishwasher. And so we have kind of adopted the philosophy of you have certain jobs, you're not getting paid for them. Like
right.
in our family.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this is right, whatever. We just like your job. I need you to empty the dishwasher. It's yes, mom. You
yeah.
know, no arguing. If I ask you to clean your room, you clean it. One person is on dog duty all weekend. Like mm-hmm. you have jobs. We don't
yeah.
pay them for it.
Yeah.
I actually pay my kids to read books.
Yeah.
So
that's okay.
We don't pay for chores, but chore, I don't really even call them chores. It's just like, that's what you do. It's that
right.
kitchen-ness.
Yeah,
we're a
right.
family. We're a team. I'm not going to pay you to do the dishes because you use the dishes and we're in a family. So I will pay you $2 to read that little chapter book.
Mm-hmm.
So if that motivates you, good, because
yeah.
readers are leaders. So
yeah, readers are leaders. Leaders
do.
Are readers. No,
what
I think that's great. I mean, we've always sort of been the same way. And I'm like you. I think there were times where I felt like I needed to do
yeah.
a chore chart. I probably read an article
yeah.
or something that made me feel bad about myself and I thought I wasn't doing
I
enough.
I still do that,
you know,
yeah.
like, so I'm like, we're going to do a chore chart. And
it's
of course we
manage.
Fall. It's a lot to manage and we fall off the wagon really
yeah.
quickly. And then I feel like it can sometimes backfire in that it builds this sense in the kids that like they need to get some kind
hey,
of a reward.
What are you going to give
or
me?
Or like, yeah. what are you going to give me? Or she has more jobs on her
mm-hmm.
or less jobs on her list than I have on my list. And oh, and it just starts this comparison.
Yeah.
So also, I just got
lazy.
I got lazy.
Lazy.
Yeah, we're talking about building a strong work ethic.
Yeah.
Mom got lazy. Mom got tired. Well, mom has enough to do. Mom got tired of managing the dang chore chart. So
I agree. That I agree.
Almost always went out the window within like a week and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're the same way. We never really gave our kids, paid them for the normal type of jobs around
yeah.
the house. We, you know, I think for maybe like 6 months, they talked us into doing an allowance for them because
mm-hmm.
somehow they learned about the concept of an allowance
yeah,
somewhere,
yeah.
one of their friend's house or on TV or something. I was like, where did you learn about this concept?
Yeah.
Because we have kept this pretty heavily guarded secret that an allowance is a
so
thing that some kids get because
yeah.
they
yeah.
just never knew it existed. And with that, it was like, okay, well, here's your responsibilities for the week. Here's what's expected
right.
of you. Here's what's expected of you with homework and getting
mm-hmm.
ready for school in the morning. So that was pretty regimented. And then after a while, I'm like, look, guys, there's nothing you need.
Mm-hmm.
We take care of all your needs. And
yeah.
very often, if you want to go to a movie with friends or
yeah.
something like that, you just ask us.
Right.
And we give you the money to go. So
yeah.
why do you need an allowance? What I would really rather is you just do these things because you live here.
Mm-hmm.
You're part of a family. And so we've kind of handled it just like you guys.
Mm.
They have kind of daily and weekly things.
Mm-hmm.
A few more things on the docket. We have our housekeeper comes every other week. So before Blanca comes, they have a list of things that they know. These are
yeah.
things that have to be done before she comes. Because, you know, you clean
yeah.
the house before you clean the house.
Totally.
I don't know why that is. But you gotta tidy. She's not going to clean,
yeah.
you know, she's not going to be able to vacuum with the floor of their rooms looking the way that they typically
yeah.
look. So they do that. And then, sometimes if there's something above and beyond
mm-hmm.
then yeah you know
right.
they could earn or they can come to me and be like, hey, I'm trying to earn a little money, like
yeah.
what could I do?
Sure.
And so yeah, you could wash the cars,
right.
you could
organize the medicine cabinet.
Yeah,
that's what I did this gave out this week for a
that's
dollar.
That's really good.
Did a great job.
That's awesome.
That was totally worth the buck. Yeah.
Yes. No, both of my girls are really good organizers
mm-hmm.
and I'm not, so I that's yeah
great.
I give them organizing projects,
mm-hmm.
car washing, you know, bigger
yeah.
things like that where
yeah.
it's like, okay, you're gonna plant 3 trees for me and they have to dig like massive
trenches
holes.
Again.
Digging trenches like a prison guard.
I love it. But I think what you said about kids, you know, kind of getting that entitled mindset, I think getting the work ethic into our kids that they realize, like, I can pitch in a situation, even if there's no direct benefit to me, is huge. Because I really hate when I'll say, oh, Braden, can you pick up those clothes off the ground? They're not mine.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't ask if they were yours. I asked you to pitch in. I know there's no benefit to you in that. But yeah. I have a friend, Megan, who we have had on the podcast before, and her kids, when she would give them popsicles, she said, every time I would find the wrappers and the popsicle sticks all over the house and in the yard.
Yeah.
And so she said, just so you know, if I find one popsicle stick or wrapper, you will lose popsicles for one day. If I find two of the said items, you're going to lose popsicles for 2 days. And like, the more I find, you're going to be on a serious grounding from popsicles. So it kind of eliminated the whole, like, that's not my wrapper, because they realized, like, oh shoot, who doesn't matter whose wrapper or popsicle stick that
we're
is.
All
that needs to go in the trash. We're all going to miss out here. And I think just building that team family mentality is important, because when you get in a business someday and someone's like, hey, we're all going to need to pitch in on this.
Right.
And you can be like, well, that's not my department.
Yeah.
That's not my job.
Like, no,
are you going to pay me for that? It's like, ew.
Yeah. Yeah, ew. Not the right attitude.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I used to do that with toys, not about them leaving out their toys, although I did, you know, have them pick up their toys. But if they were fighting over something, it went away.
I keep it now.
What is goodbye?
I keep it now.
I keep it now. Yeah. And it's like, oh, you're fighting over that thing? You have 5 seconds to work it out or that goes away.
Right.
And it always worked pretty well. But you gave the example of Braden being like, well, I don't want to pick that up. That's not my clothes.
Yeah.
Well, my girls have done the same thing too. And I'm like, oh, you know what's funny is I cook a whole lot of food that's not for me.
Yeah.
Wash a whole lot of dishes that I don't create.
Mm-hmm.
Wash a whole lot of clothes that aren't for my body. Like,
yeah.
Welcome to life as a family.
Right.
So exactly. If you can see it right now, pick it up.
Yeah. Yes.
You know,
and
they know when mom gets in it. It's like they know they've said it, and then they can just sort of see the temperature rising, and they know they're going to get the mom lecture where I was like, oh, that's interesting. What if I stopped doing things that didn't benefit me around here? Think about how that would work out for everyone, right?
Yeah.
You know, so it's just good to teach our kids that's just part of loving and caring for and serving each other too. You know, you don't want to abuse the members of your family by just being a slob all the time.
Right.
You know, we're not going to go to that extreme, but it's just part of life.
Yeah.
So
it's being in a family. One thing about hard work, which I always kind of find interesting how people's opinions differ in this, is, you know, you hear like, believe it, see it, achieve it, right? Like, if you believe, you can achieve anything. And I've always kind of struggled with that. And my parents very much told me that, like, honey, you can be anything. You're so wonderful, which is great. It built my confidence. But at the same time, it's like, was I ever really going to be in the NBA? Like, would I ever have been a gymnast? I'm 5'10". Like, I am not. No. Like,
yeah.
I think believing in your dreams is great, but that's not enough. I think you also have to teach your kids to work for them, because there's like skill, there's talent, and then that also meets like
opportunity
and who's hiring, right?
Right. So right,
you're gonna, I don't know, I just, that I always thought, oh, I want to be careful with my kids, not like, you can be anybody you want. Like, my husband's not going to be a jockey. Like,
yeah,
he's 6'1", 230 pounds. Like, he's not
it's not happening for him.
Like, you can do anything that you set your mind to and that you're good at.
Like, right,
maybe that's really pessimistic. How do you guys approach
I mean, speaking of being a gymnast, like, I so between my like 7th and 8th grade years. No, it may have been even earlier than that. I think it was like between 6th and 7th grade. I wanted to try out for the cheerleading squad at my junior high.
Yeah.
And I had a couple of friends who were going to try out too. And one of the things that was suggested is like, hey, if you want to make the squad, you have to have your back handspring.
Oh,
like,
geez.
You've got to have a back handspring.
No way.
I mean, this is junior high.
Yeah.
But it was like, I don't know. Our schools here are super competitive with a cheer. I don't know about other places in the country, but it's nuts here. But so you had to have your back handspring. And so I remember my friend's mom took her and another friend of ours and me to this local gym. Mm-hmm. And we met with a gymnastics coach who was going to help us all get our back handsprings. And I remember her saying, like, I can teach anybody to do a back handspring.
I know where this is going.
And I was like, okay, you know, like, yeah, of course, sure. I was terrified. But, like, I was like, okay, if I can, I'm going to get it. And I had been taught you never give up.
Yeah.
And I had been taught, like, you work hard, you give it your all. Can I tell you how many times I launched myself full force onto my face? Just over and over and over and over. And finally, this gymnastics coach was like, I'm afraid you're going to paralyze yourself on my watch. You're not, I don't know what's going on.
She's clicking.
Well, and I mean, I'm tall too. Yeah. Like, there's just, it takes a lot of momentum to get a 5'10"
body over,
person over. And all that momentum was ending up on my face on the ground. And just, she's like, you know, I just think maybe you're good at other things.
Yeah. And that's great.
Like, okay. So I actually went out for the palm line instead, which was more like dance.
Yeah.
And loved it. And we won state 2 years in a row. So it was great.
God had other plans for you.
Yeah. You can't do anything you want.
Right.
Because I clearly was never going to be Simone Biles.
No.
And I was not going to be an Olympian really in any sport. So let's be honest. But,
That's awesome.
Yeah, that, I mean, I think we've been that way too. We're not just like the dream it, believe it, do it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you should have dreams and you should have goals. But, you know, I think my husband and I are both like, we've like fallen into all the success that we've ever had. It's like you just like try stuff, throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks.
Right.
I mean, we have a lot of privilege, so that helps, I think. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my husband's just like, you just got to try stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, you don't need to know what you're doing before you get started. Like, there's just some things that you're just not going to know.
Right. And there's a lot of parental pressure, I think, from a lot of young people, like, pursuing paths, like career paths or college paths. Not necessarily because of like their personal alignment or passions, but really to please mom and dad.
Yeah.
And I saw this question once and it said, instead of asking your kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because I feel like that's a little crippling when you're like 15
like, how
or
am
five.
I supposed to
like,
know?
I only know of like a police officer, a firefighter, and a nurse. Like, I don't even know what other jobs there are. Somebody said once, ask your kids, what problem do you want to help solve? Because that kind of speaks to their heart more.
Right.
You know, like I am a 3-2, an Enneagram 3-2. So my heart and my design is to help and support. And so to be in a ministry or family type organization suits who I am.
Yeah.
I am not an analytical, like I would never be good as an architect. I stink at math and precise details drive me crazy, right? So the problem I want to help solve is families and brokenness and reunification and hope and I think that's a great question that, again, I can't take credit for, but what problem do you want to help solve?
Yeah.
It's a good way to kind of help tune into the way God has designed your kids so unique instead of who do you want to be? What do you want to be? This is what I think you should be.
Yeah.
You know,
because
that puts a lot of pressure on little guys.
Well, and we talk so much about helping meet our kids' inner needs. And one of those inner needs is a need to have a significant purpose in life. And I always think that that plays into one of the other needs, which is having a strong hope for the future. And so I love that question. What problem do you want to help solve? Because I think it speaks directly to that heart need, that need to have a significant purpose in life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also outwardly focused, right?
Yeah.
It's not saying like, what do you want to accomplish? How much money do you want to make someday? It's what do you want to do for the world?
Yeah.
How do you want to change or help or, you know, whatever? So I think that's really, really good. And as we seek to kind of build character in our kids, one of those character traits is being able to work hard and to be able to look around you and see what needs to be done and to take initiative to do it, both in the physical realm, but emotionally as well, you know, to kind of bear that weight and to do that work.
Yeah, Absolutely. So now what, right? We've thrown out all this stuff about how to raise hard workers, how to build self-confidence and self-efficacy in your kids. And I know it can feel like a lot, so it's not like a checklist. We're just want to encourage you, as we are encouraging ourselves, to embrace the kids that God has given you.
Yeah.
Like Kara said, encourage their character traits. And we talk a lot here at Grace-Based Families about courage and endurance and self-discipline and faith and developing those character muscles. And just love the person that God created them to be.
Yes.
That's really all you can do.
Yeah, that's that freedom to be different, mm-hmm. right? You know, they're all going to have different ways of approaching life and approaching work. And mm-hmm. that's okay. Mm-hmm. More than anything, it's just about cultivating who they are and recognizing what they really can contribute in unique ways. And then sometimes we got to make them do stuff they don't want to do.
Exactly.
Like, load the dishwasher or whatever
right,
it is.
Right.
But we love you guys. Thank you so much for listening and for joining us today. We really value when you are able to subscribe to our podcast. And if you can give us a rating or a review on the podcast platform in which you listen to us on, it really helps other people to be able to find the show. When our ratings go up, when we get more reviews, even if they're, you know, not great reviews, it actually helps people find the show. We prefer that you give us good reviews. We think we're awesome. But we appreciate that. And also, if if there's things that you would really like us to talk about that you haven't heard us touch on, we'd love to hear from you. So you can reach out to us at family@gracebasedfamilies.com. And we'd love to pray for you. We'd love to hear from you, what's going on in your families right now. So feel free to reach out. But thanks for listening to the Grace-Based Families podcast, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grace-Based Families podcast. This is part of Grace-Based Families Ministry.
For more resources, check us out on gracebasedfamilies.com/podcast or stream us on all major podcasting platforms.
Once again, this is Karis
and Michelle.
Until next time.